Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome along to another Italian football podcast brought to you by total-italianfootball.com. I'm here, Connor Clancy. I'm joined by just one person this week. It's a little bit of a lonely podcast. Kev Pogzielski, you're here to keep me company. Thank you very much. How are you?
Well, I'm sometimes more than one person with my sort of split personality. Yeah. So I reckon we can do a fine job on our own, I think.
I was expecting you to say that you talk enough for three, which is very much the case. But it's just us because we're having to record on Monday night. That is the fault of mine. But that means that Vito Doria can never join us. And Ewan Burns is basically lazy. And despite having had a week off, a long week off, which took in the last two weekends of the Serie A season, he's also claiming he's too tired to do this the day after he's back from his holidays. Kev, can I just get your thoughts on that before we move on to talk about the weekend's football?
Well, some of us do it while they're on holiday, phone you in the middle of the night and do it when we're stuck on holiday in Milan. You know, it's poor form on the young man's. Yeah, he should have more energy. He's the youngest of all of us.
I agree. And I had some unfortunate circumstances last week, and I still did the podcast, didn't I, from back home in Ireland. And then guess what he left me to do for the women's football podcast, Kev? He messaged me the day of it saying that he wasn't going to be able to do it. So I sat out my garden back home and did a podcast on my own for 10 minutes speaking to the camera. Speaking to the microphone. So that's the kind of fella we're dealing with here.
Well, you could have got me along for the women's one, but it probably would have just taken longer and been...
Yeah, because I would have had to explain a lot of things here that I don't have time to explain, and the listeners don't need explained to them. But there's scope for that with the Women's World Cup coming up, because there will be new eyes on the Italian women's national team. So we'll draft you in again like we did last year for the Euros. But Kev, the Serie A season has finished. Well, no, it hasn't, because there's a whole new thing happening this year. But anyway, match day 38, all of the focus really was on the Europa League places, but mostly the final place in the relegation zone. And there were a lot of irrelevant games. One of them saw Fiorentina win 3-1 away at Sassuolo on Friday night. Inter beat Torino 1-0. Cremonese beat Salernitana 2-0. Lazio beat Empoli 2-0. Napoli beat Samp by that same scoreline. It's a familiar one this weekend. Atalanta had fun. They beat Monza 5-2 in what was a real party in Bergamo. Robin Gosens, Remo Freuler and Ruslan Malinovsky all back at the Gevis Stadium for that one, and Remo Royal in particular got a really nice welcome from the fans. Juventus beat Udinese 1-0, Bologna beat Lecce 3-2, but then here are the games that mattered. Milan beat Verona 3-1, And that looked like it was going to keep Spezia up, because until stoppage time, Spezia were drawing 1-1 in the capital at Roma. But a late Paolo Dybala penalty meant that both Verona and Spezia finished the season on 31 points. And there's only two positions in the league table, those being 17th and 1st, where head-to-head cannot be used to settle the tie break. So we're going to have a playoff. The season's not finished, Kev. They've brought this rule back in this year, after 20 years away. And I've got to be honest, part of me before the weekend thought, would quite like the playoff, but I'm tired and I'm not happy that it's happened. But it came about in dramatic fashion, and you were having to follow both of those games at the same time while I ate a pizza in Salerno.
Yeah, it was very frustrating, and I think I was more pro playoff until I had to sort of sit through these two games, and Stace was sort of watching me fidget in my seat. I think I ended up having to take a t-shirt off because I was sweating. She's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "Oh no, now they've scored." I'm like, "Oh wait there, I'm not, because what happened?" So we had Milan took a lead just at half time through a penalty, which was a penalty, and then at the same time Roma equalised after Spezia had taken the lead. And then nothing really happened until sort of the 65th minute, because I commented to you on our chat that I was going to then go all in with how it was currently sitting, and that was Verona going down by Spezia staying up with a point. And actually that again looked fine, because that's where it changed. So then Verona equalised with a lob ball to the back post on 71 minutes. And I started writing about a playoff, as you do, sort of leaving the other draft to one side. And then Rafa Leão popped up, as he has done for Milan this year, to show why he's probably their most saleable asset, although he's just signed a new contract, and scored two kind of quick fire solo goals. And then Spezia are back into staying up by a point. And then I don't think I've actually seen the foul that conceded the penalty, because I was then trying to change the games onto different, you know, one from the TV onto the tablet, and just saw Paolo Dybala.
That's dangerous to be doing at that point in the game, trying to change things over.
Well, it already started badly, because I was trying to work out why they weren't showing Roma, and it was because they were still showing the Napoli celebrations on BT Sport. But I had Twitter running in the background, so I was actually getting updates from that slightly quicker than what I was seeing them on the TV and on the tablet. But in the end, it was just crazy. You probably could have assumed at the start of the game, if it had been anything riding on it for Milan, certainly, that both teams would lose and that we'd get this playoff, and that's how it turned out in the end. But actually, it wasn't as straightforward as some people would have probably expected, because obviously Roma really needed that win as well, because they wanted to secure a Europa League place.
They came into this game level on points. Obviously, they finished it on level points. They both lost on the final weekend. And I did think it was going to happen, but I actually thought both of them were going to win, because Milan have nothing to play for. They were very much all eyes on Ibra, who we'll get to, I'm sure. And Roma obviously had suffered the heartbreak of the Europa League final loss in midweek. So I really did expect the two relegation battling teams to pick up all points, but they didn't.
Yeah, see, I didn't. And I had little more of my view on the Milan game. And the problem, as I put in my sort of summary for Toto Hoff and Italian Football, was that Verona have lost so much of the kind of the attacking talent that
everybody, he's about to say that game.
Well, now that you've sort of suggested that I'm gonna
Giovanni Simeone, right? That's where you're going.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the thing. On the same night, Giovanni Simeone had just scored a goal, and he was picking up a title winner's medal. They lost Antonin Barak They lost Caprari, who again had a real solid season with Monza. But considering Milan were really subdued last night, they just showed nothing. And I can understand from a certain perspective that even when they went 1-0 down, it's kind of like they would have come into the second half knowing that Spezia were drawing. So actually they didn't need to go sort of kitchen sink, but they didn't actually have kitchen sink to throw at Milan, and they haven't had it for all the season. And that's where I think, you know, if I'm gonna make a prediction, not that you've asked me to, for the playoff, is that, again, actually this was in my kind of summary, when you look at Nzola's sort of 16 goals, which I think have won sort of 13 points for Spezia this year. He didn't score in Rome, but that I think he's going to be the difference maker in that game. If Verona can't find something at the other end, because like Simone Verde is their top scorer with 5 goals.
Oh wow, with 5.
Yeah, exactly. And the next is Lazovic with 4. It's and then you're sort of talking sort of, I think only a couple of players have got into like double, not double figures, is it? But, you know, scored more than once is the word I'm looking for.
Well, Nzola did enough. It looks like he's very much on Roma's radar now, and it seems to be the case that there are talks going on between Spezia, Roma and him about a move this summer, which would be an interesting one, because I do think he needs to take that step up, but maybe that's too much of a step at once. But you don't know, we're not here to talk about that anyway, are we? I do want to just ask, Kev, because I'm not entirely happy about this playoff existing, and it's not just because I'm tired of the season continuing for what feels like forever, but Serie A has head-to-head as its tiebreaker in place, and Spezia have the head-to-head over Verona. If Spezia now go down on penalties, they're well within the rights to be absolutely fuming, aren't they?
They also have goal difference, don't they? Which is also a common measure in most European
leagues. Well, when head-to-head is even, it goes to goal difference. Verona actually have a better goal difference by 3. Verona on minus 28, Spezia on minus 31.
I knew it was close. I thought it flipped last night with Verona losing by 2 goals to Milan. But, it's one of those that I don't know if the league will have communicated the rule change to sides at the start of the season.
Do you reckon? Well, they would have had to, right? But
yeah,
I think,
yeah, you'd think so. They probably issue a guidebook or whatever, and it's probably a rule that somebody's not even realised has changed from the previous season. But also, it's so unlikely that you kind of don't think that it's going to happen. You know, 31 points, really. You would think if a side is finishing on 31 points, then they've gone down, and there are others, you know, above them with a bigger margin, because if it feels, you know, again, somebody can tell us otherwise, it feels like 31 points is really, really low. You know, I'm thinking of a playoff and you've got two sides finishing on sort of 36, 37, because you know, there's this sort of kind of mythical 40 points to stay up in most sort of 20-team leagues, and 31 just feels... But then this is because, you know, if you look at competitive balance... measures where they sort of take the league leaders' points and the bottom sides' points, and then you average a difference. It gives you your competitive balance. Samp have had such a terrible season, but Napoli have absolutely stormed the other end of the table. And actually, even with, when you look at Milan, Juventus and Inter have got the biggest difference between the points they won at home and away this year. Which I think, again, sort of it's an indication of where they've been so poor, because we maybe haven't had that sort of real everything under Napoli and above Sampdoria. It's been relatively close.
I did just want to jump in and say Salernitana last season stayed up with 31, but the year before that, Benevento went down with 35, I think, and then Genoa stayed up. Sorry, Lecce went down the year before that with 35 as well. So it is a low tally. But I don't know, Kev. We've got the playoff, we should say. As far as I'm aware, we're recording this on Monday night. We still don't know where it is, but we know it's on Sunday the 11th. And it's a 8:45 Central European summertime kickoff, which means 7:45 for people in the UK and Ireland, and then for people in the US on the East Coast, that's 2:45. Yes.
When and when's our? Because I'm sure I've set up a reminder, but now I can't. This is why I set up a reminder. Because when's the Serie B promotion?
Well, you've asked me that, when I've not got my grab open in front of me. But
is that Friday night?
Two legs to it. Two legs, remember. I'm scrambling to find this right now. And my internet's acting up, which is great. So we've got Thursday and Sunday. Oh, what are... Right, that's... Again.
Because this is what I was thinking.
It's at the
same time
as the second leg of the Serie B promotion playoff.
I did think we'd have a scenario where we would know who has replaced who... when we next record, whenever that is going
to
be.
Yeah, we will. We'll have to record Sunday night or Monday night next week. But anyway, the Serie B promotion playoff is a two-legged final now between Cagliari and Bari. And listeners, I hope you will all join me in wishing that Bari come up, because we've had Cagliari. Bari's just... We need it, and I'm quite tempted to move there, Kev, if they do come up. So we might.
Yeah, well, either way, I think I'm going to one of those stadiums.
Yeah,
season.
Fair point. Very fair point. There was a point last year where you couldn't keep me away from Bari. Rome has taken its place this year, but I very much want the Pugliese side to come up there, because look, Cagliari is tricky to get to, and their fans do a lot of racism, so I'd be quite happy to not have them back up. But anyway, we need to talk about other things, don't we? Zlatan Ibrahimovic is gone. He didn't get to properly say farewell on the pitch because he's barely played this season, but he was given a nice goodbye. And before we start piling into him, Kev, because there's a lot to poke fun at, and all of that when it comes to Zlatan and what he's become, I think it's only right to recognise the phenomenal career that that man has had.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a huge Ibrahimovic fan until his latter years, and maybe it coincided with the growth of social media. So you saw more of just the unnecessary, I don't know, self-promotion of, you know, ridiculous kind of self-promotion. A famous betting site in the UK and Ireland put out a tweet yesterday saying that he was trying to spend more time calling himself a lion on Instagram. And I think it was some of that really that, it doesn't sour his career, or it doesn't make his, you know, any less in his career, but it got a bit annoying, got a bit tedious at times more than anything else. He obviously also played for Manchester United, which, you know, then I can no longer like any of my former the hero would have been a strong word.
He did have some good lines. I'm trying to keep it positive to start with, and you've just immediately turned it. But even as he bowed out at the San Siro last night, there was a great moment where he took the microphone and he started speaking, and the Verona fans who were still there started whistling. And he just, like, he cuts himself off mid-sentence. He goes, yeah, whistle, whistle. This is the highlight of your year. And to be fair, he's right, isn't he?
yeah. Well, we'll see in, 6 days' time. Yeah. But he was, of course, good at that. And I think there was arguably, it was the middle part of his career that, you know, I probably most enjoyed, even though a small part of me enjoys when he was sort of the petulant younger Ibrahimovic, because part of that is just youth. You know, you are learning how to, you know, behave, and, you know, some of it comes with just absurd talent that he had. And, you know, we've jested about a former Inter teammate who's still playing in Serie A, who is talented, but not as talented to be able to back up some of the shenanigans that Ibrahimovic gets away with. So, it's been a wonderful career. I think now it is 41, isn't it? It feels like he said he's retiring. You know, we've spoken about potentially a final season at Monza, but really, how many minutes would he play? And even going to Miami, I think that would it'd actually be a bad move for MLS. Because they're getting players at the end of their career, and actually he's had his spell in MLS. He did quite a lot actually for getting a few more fans through the gates at LA Galaxy, and it kind of they are they're kind of that Galacticus, you know, American version. They buy stars, and well, the previous Galactico era where they never won anything really was what they did, and he kind of fit the bill for that.
Yeah, I'm like you. I think I will remember Ibrahimovic more fondly than not. I did grow a little bit tired of him in the last couple of years, but throughout most of his career, I really enjoyed him both as a player and the character as well. I did quite enjoy the pantomime villain element of it.
The one thing that I just can't quite get my head around is the whole, I know he's ending his career at Milan, but why consider, I suppose his Juventus spell was broken up by Calciopoli. Inter, I thought he was phenomenal, you know, was probably when I sort of really grew to love what he was doing. And he's had a relatively short, you know, if you think about minutes on the pitch in games, he's had a relatively short career at Milan. Yet it feels like there's been too much made of Milan being his club, because it feels almost that he's been Italian football's player more than Milan's.
I agree with that. I think there's the element though, isn't there, that he left Inter to go to Barcelona and that just didn't work for him, and he needed a savior to take him away from that environment, and Milan was that. When he left Milan, originally he didn't want to. Remember him and Thiago Silva, Seedorf, basically everyone was booted out that same summer. And I think after that, there was always a feeling of what if for Ibra at Milan. And then when he came back, I was at his first game back. Remember, I just got back to Italy after Christmas. I don't think I'd even returned down to Parma. I went to the San Siro and he came on against Sampdoria. And Milan were rubbish. Bear in mind, 2 weeks earlier, Milan had lost 5-0 to Atalanta. And the whole place, I mean, I think it was a near sellout. And it hadn't been for quite a long time before. And when I say quite a long time, I mean about a decade before that. And he just lifted the place. And Milan suddenly looked like they were going to win. And he had a half chance. And the way he transformed that team from being the laughing stock of Italy to going on to win the league, like, I don't think we can overstate just how big a role he played, even if he didn't play as much as he would have liked in that title winning season.
Yeah, I suppose so. Thank you for clarifying.
There we go. That's that done. Although the God bye thing was shit, and I tweeted, "Oh fuck off," and I stand by that sentiment. Oh, here's one for you. Did you see that they presented him with the kit in the frame, but they presented him with the current, so the kit that they wore the other night, which is next season's kit. So they presented him with a kit that he's never going to have worn for Milan as a ceremonial thing, and that I didn't like that.
That's a bit of a pet hate for me when you see people walking around in current shirts with former players' names on the back. But yeah, we've just had Roberto Firmino leave Liverpool, and I thought, oh, yeah, he's playing in next season's shirt that he's never going to score a goal in. And of course, then he did go and score on the final two weekends, so it was fine. I made peace of it, but Ibrahimovic is a slightly different scenario.
If we can stick around that part of the table, Atalanta finished fifth with their 5-2 win over Monza. Yes, I am smiling. Roma will join them in the Europa League, with Juventus taking the Conference League place, with a big fat asterisk beside that, because we need to see if UEFA will allow them in. And if not, it'll go to Fiorentina. So, Atalanta and Roma, Europa League. Atalanta are back in Europe, Kev.
For some reason, because they made a bit of a thing about, they had T-shirts, didn't they, at the end of the game. Obviously it was, you do your lap of appreciation for the fans. And they had sort of back in Europe shirts. That forced me to check when they were last in Europe.
Yeah.
And actually, they've only been out. I thought, what? Have they been away for? Yeah. They've only been out away for 1 year. We were thinking they might have snuck in slightly higher, but I think, you know, we discussed probably the last pod, or it might be the one before with Ewan, about, you know, this is a good achievement for Atalanta, kind of with their current standing in Italian football, and you know, Coop Miners looks like they've got a player there. I'm kind of now semi hoping that Atalanta draw Liverpool, so I'll
no, not again.
Well, yeah, but it was behind closed doors last time. True. So I never got to go and sort of experience Liverpool at the
the stadium Atalanta, because I don't want to try and pronounce that that strange name. But I have a question: whether you think Koopman has meant his final?
No, he didn't.
Goal.
He absolutely didn't. There's not a chance that he meant it, right?
And yeah, that's what I thought. If, good, I'm glad.
If he'd done that in October, I might have thought, yeah, probably. He's not been very good for about 6 months. And if you watch, there are two angles where you can see him look towards the box. And there's one in particular where you see his face change when he realizes, first, yeah. Oh, it's not gone where I wanted to. Oh, but look where it is going. There's not a chance he meant it.
I thought that. I thought he'd entirely sliced it. And like you say, when he lifts his head up from where he's... Because he almost wants to keep his head down to look at, you know, try and blame the turf for him sort of just slicing it ever so slightly to the left. Because I think he was not quite crossfield, but he was aiming for that far side of the penalty box. But yeah, another good season for Atalanta.
Yeah, I think it's important to really drive this home, though, because a lot of people are basically people who support the traditional big clubs seem to be confusing Atalanta and what Atalanta are, because a lot of people are talking like every time Atalanta don't win for like 3 or 4 games, it's suddenly a crisis because people apply big club standards to them. And it's really, really important to remember that Atalanta are a provincial club who are punching above their weight and have been since Gasperini went in. And look at the squad this season. It's been so threadbare. And then they've had injuries upon injuries upon injuries. I think for Gasperini to finish fifth this season, that is right up there with the best seasons he's had with Atalanta. The year where they went and almost won the title, that's in a different ballpark. And his first season where they finished, was it fourth or third? I can't remember. That's in a different one. But this season, the result rather than the process is right up there just behind those two for me.
And if you ignore Napoli, you know, they finished 10 points behind Lazio, who were second. You know, Napoli's a real outlier this year with sort of the standings, because they just blew everybody away. What they lost, they lose once, or they dropped a point like once in the first half of the season, Napoli. But yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement.
It does look funny now when you look at the table and see that Napoli lost 4 times overall, because I feel like they went so long unbeaten. In my head, they've only lost twice all season. It's an odd one, but there we go. Atalanta back in Europe. Roma joined them. Roma, I think, will be more disappointed on Atalanta to be in the Europa League. For Atalanta, it's a celebration. For Roma, it's a bit of a, we kind of want the Champions League.
Well, particularly with what happened last Wednesday in the Europa League final.
I've just realised we're kind of getting into the season review territory here, aren't we? And we do have a season review pod to come next week, so we don't necessarily need to go into that all that much, but just give us a couple of thoughts.
Well, just because they kind of threw a... Again, I'm trying to look for a better phrase, but they gave up, probably rather than threw away, they gave up on the league once they had a serious shot at getting to the Europa League final, and that was their... You know, it was very, very clear with a couple of team selections. I know they had injuries, but the last couple of weeks, they gave up on the league. And, you know, really, it was kind of last gasp that they got 3 points this weekend. But they've only got themselves to blame that they decided to eventually sort of look at one competition as their route into the top. Oh, sorry, yeah, the Premier competition. Continentally,
it is the top continental competition. I don't think you'll get any backlash for saying that.
It's because I'm always looking for various different ways to describe it in more pieces, so you don't keep saying Champions League. Yeah. It's been Europe's top table. It's been Premier
Europe's Premier club competition's a safe one, isn't it? It's nice.
Yeah.
I take your point. Other than that, there wasn't really that much of note in Serie A this weekend, was there? Am I missing something obvious? But
well, where the title was celebrated.
Yeah,
we had Quagliarella.
Right, you're absolutely right to bring that up. Well done, because that was going to slip my mind completely, Gav.
And there was a really good tweet. I think it was by Mina. I'm not going to be able to pronounce
Rizuki.
Surname. Rizuki. And I think it was along the lines of Napoli was the club that Qualiere always wanted, and he couldn't enjoy it, you know, the time he was there. Obviously, the much publicised issue with the stalker and everything. And that his sort of, as he went out, he was very emotional before the game. The Napoli ultras kind of gave him a little send off, and I think they gave him a little gift. I couldn't see what it was. And I was quite surprised, actually, that, well, actually, I suppose it wasn't. The season was over for both clubs, but that he came out and started the game. It felt like the emotion might have just got the better of him. And sometimes I think maybe I wouldn't, but I know plenty of people that would probably want to maybe just probably come on for the last 10 minutes because they'd find just, you know, you're almost letting your teammates down because I think you're overruled by the whole sort of ceremony of your sort of last game and stuff. But he's been a fantastic player to watch in Italian football, even if he hasn't. Again, it feels a bit like Ibrahimovic, where he's ended up finishing Sampdoria feels like his club.
But yeah.
I've got, you know, maybe I'm a bit older than well, I'm a lot older than some younger Serie A fans. Hello. So I've got memories of him. Yeah. You know, I've got memories of him even at Juventus and places. So it's, again, he's more age, but I think you do get a lot of these journeyman figures in Italian football because Italian football, arguably, unlike a lot of the major European leagues, lots of players sort of seem to transfer between the bigger clubs. So he has spent a lot of time in very different parts of the Italian sort of team, football system.
I'm going to miss him so much. So much. I know it became a bit of a joke on the podcast the season before last, wasn't it? When he was banging in goals left, right and centre. And then it carried over into last season where we had a couple of bets. But in terms of individual players, so I think Atalanta were the team that he scored the second most goals against. So I used to hate when he played against Atalanta because he'd always score. And so often, as was so often the case with his goals, they were belters, like absolutely breathtaking things that you don't even know how he's thought to do them, never mind actually execute them. But in terms of individual players that have been about Serie A, in the time that I've been following it, there aren't many that I hold in that same esteem as Quagliarella. And it is, I'm just watching the videos now of him in tears on the pitch during the warm-up. And I'm so, so pleased that the fixtures fell this way, that if it is to be his last game, if he is retiring now, like for sure, that it was at Napoli. And the reception he was given, not only by the Stadio Maradona, but by Napoli's famed stadium announcer, Decibel Bellini, isn't it? Because when he came off, he got the full treatment as if he were still a Napoli player. And like the whole match stopped.
But the Napoli players also sort of, Osman got off the bench and he went over. And again, you know, it's like, I suppose you're getting that coming off rather than just before you go on. Because if he'd gone on for the last 15 minutes and had all those players wanting to shake his hand and the guard of honour, again, they're things that I sort of look down upon ever so slightly. But, you know, these are people that have got like 20-year careers. They're not, you know, they're not the average sort of 13-year career.
There's real authenticity to this, isn't there? Do you remember when John Terry played his last game? And he got subbed off in the 26th minute because 26 was his number. And then didn't he get like a guard of honour from the Chelsea players as he walked off the pitch? Like, that was shambolic. And
that's the pinnacle of the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah. Whereas Quagliarella was just, it was genuine emotion. Everybody genuinely just wanted to express their appreciation for him and his career. Like, I'm so sad that he's probably gone now. Is it? It's not official that he's retired yet, is it?
No, and there was. I mean, he must be on the BT Sport commentary that they said that he had offered his services if they needed it next season. And I suspect, and again with Miss and Vito, but with obviously the financial issues around the club, you could see him doing something like, did Maldini play his last year for Milan, sort of salary free, and when you're gonna get little probably output on the pitch from him. Well, Maldini actually might have donated it to charity, but anyway.
Big news as we're recording this, Kev. AC Milan director Paolo Maldini will leave the club with immediate effect. This is from Fabrizio Romano. It's after a tense meeting with chairman Gerry Cardinale today, Monday, and co-director Ricky Massara is also set to leave Milan. You're laughing.
You know he's taking over his role, don't you?
Who's that?
It's no longer goodbye, Zlatan.
Wow.
He's coming back.
That is remarkable if true. I don't really know how to react to that. I need a bit of time to process that, but that's not good for Milan, is it?
No, because you think some of what they've done right in the last few years has been attributed to Maldini, and he seems to be a positive influence on the club, as you can probably imagine he would be after all the years he spent there. But yeah, I suppose one to wait and see what the outcome is and whether it is true.
Yes. Anyway, I was a bit off the pace this weekend because a lot of the matches were played on Sunday and I was down in Salerno for the Coppa Italia Femminile final. Roma could have done a treble, domestic treble that is, but Juventus stopped them with it. Oh God, this was actually painful to watch because Roma wizard Manuela Giuliano, who became this season the first Roma player wearing the number 10 to play at the Olympico since Francesco Totti, when Roma played there in the Women's Champions League against Barcelona, she missed a glaring chance with her head. And I don't think I've ever seen her head a ball before this chance.
It's probably why she missed
it.
Yeah,
and then Juve went, I'm not sure about the time, but it felt like Juve went straight down the other end. And Barbara Bonansea scored a header at the back post in the 93rd minute with five added on to win the cup, showing that Juventus, they were severely behind Roma in the Serie A title race, but still life in the old lady yet. And they're going to come back fighting next season. Total-italianfootball.com for my report from, what's the name of the stadium? The Stadio Arecchi that I was at for that one. And then Ewan and I will be doing the Women's Football Podcast, which will be available on patreon.com/totalitalianfootball. You can get that and other things for just €2 a month. And while we're on this, after we do the season review podcast next week, we will be taking a break for the summer from free things. There will be things going out both on patreon.com/totalitalianfootball, but also on the Italian football newsletter, which we have taken off Chloe Beresford's very capable hands. And we will be really stepping that up now in the off season and carrying it into next season and long beyond. So you can sign up to either of those things and keep in touch with us throughout the summer. But don't fear, because we will be back with the review pod next weekend. Kevin, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I think we've got through it, just the two of us.
All right. Well, hopefully Burnsy decides that a two-week holiday is enough and he returns to join us next week. And hopefully Vito Doria can also join us and we won't be alone. And Kev, hopefully you'll also be here next week. But until then, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.